That make a Methodist shout. I don't know how y'all sit there so quiet. Mercy. Come on. And now I have to preach against shouting. And no, just teasing. Oh, mercy. That was good. I heard them practicing it this morning, but I didn't really pay too close attention to the words. Boy, that is shouting grounds, ain't it? Yeah. I tell you what, I'd like to just take my shoes off and run around, have a fit and fall in it. Good stuff. If you would, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 25 this morning. Proverbs chapter 25. I truly am preaching something about what I just said, so kind of about emotions. I want to preach a message to you this morning on this subject, ruled over or overruled. Ruled over or overruled. Are you in Proverbs chapter 25? Amen. Let's read together verse 28. The Bible says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit," I still hear pages, which is good. I'll let you get there. All right. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." I don't watch a lot of news, hardly any at all. I have a couple of conservative news media outlets that I read in the morning. One's called The Pour Over, and then 1440 Daily Digest. That's pretty much it. So I get what I know from them. And some of the recent news in the world that I've seen through those news medias, and of course these aren't anything that is news to you if you've watched the news at all or if you have any of those media outlets. Hamas, and the Gaza war, the pro-Palestinian, the anti-Israel protests across the world, Trump assassination attempt, and all the questions surrounding it now that are coming about, maybe not even questions. You don't have to be much of a conspiracy theorist to see a whole bunch of stuff there. And I'm really not. The anti-Israel protesters, burning of the American flag and the raising of the Palestinian flag in Washington, D.C., as well as the desecration of American historical monuments after Netanyahu's speech, the drag queen remake of Da Vinci's The Last Supper during the opening of the Olympic Games in Paris. Now let me switch gears just a little bit. Keep all that on your mind, but let me switch gears. As some of you may or may not know, I just recently reactivated an old Facebook page that I used to have. For the last couple of years, I didn't have one. I stopped using it because I would waste so much time on it. And I would also respond to stuff that was misinformation, and I would respond to stuff that just didn't matter. And so I deactivated the page for about 2 years, and I got on my wife's page and I just trolled. Every now and then you would see me put something on there and I would sign it. But I love my wife's Facebook page because she never puts anything negative on there. It's always something either about you or about our family or about the Lord. And so I decided this time I'm going to do it right. So if I ever stop doing it right, I'll shut it down again. Creatures of habit we can be. But when and this was just like a week or two ago, I think it was just a week ago that I reactivated this page. And I really just want to use it to glorify the Lord. I really do. It's a tremendous outlet that is available to us to get the gospel across the world that quick. And reactivating the page and not opening up a new account saved all my old contacts. So many of you are on there. And so I didn't have to go hunting you. You were there. And some of you I asked to be your friend, and some of you have friended me. But a bunch of them were already there. And what I saw when I opened it up and I began to look at these things that I just talked to you about, the Hamas, Gaza war, pro-Palestinian, Trump assassination, protesters, drag queen, what I saw were my Christian friends responding in ways that display alarm, anxiety, apprehension, anguish. Now, not all, but many. I only have a few Facebook friends who aren't Christians. Some of my old high school friends I still have contact with. Some army buddies I still in contact with. Other than that, the majority of the friends on my page are Christians. So I saw them responding in ways that display alarm, anxiety, apprehension, anguish, agitation, discouragement, dismay, distraction, distress, fearfulness, foreboding, hate, hostility, panic, stress, tension, uncertainty, and the list goes on as long as I just opened the thesaurus and I said, yep. And what I'm seeing on Facebook and in personal conversations are emotion-based reactions and responses that are worldly and carnal and born of the flesh rather than responses that would glorify God. Pastor Crawford just finished a study on the entire book of Colossians, and one of the primary things that he emphasized was the truth that we are to choose to put on Christ, to put on the new man every single day, just like we would put on our clothes the clothes we choose to put on every day. He said in the same fashion, we have to choose to put on the new man, to put on Christ. That includes our emotions. Galatians 2:20, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. What Paul was saying was that when he died to the old man, he died to his worldly lusts and his worldly accolades and all of his past aggressions toward Christians, but he also died to his old emotions. When he was killing Christians, what do you think motivated him to act in that manner? He was a man fueled with and controlled by emotions of hatred and venom for Jesus Christ. But you say, well, Brother Stone, didn't God make us emotional beings? Well, yes, he did. So I want you to come back with me just for a minute, if you would, to the last sermon that I did. Many of you were not here, but those of you who were here, come back with me to the last sermon I did on the armor of God. And we had the children up here, and we had a visual illustration. And I'll just give it to you in a nutshell, if you weren't here. So man was made in the likeness and the image of God. We're an eternal being, for sure. And God made us three parts, but one person, spirit, soul, and body. That's how he made us. The Spirit, of course, is the vehicle that God uses to communicate His will and His truth to us by way of His Holy Spirit. The soul is the mind or the intellect, the will, your volition or your power of choice, and your emotions, mind, will, and emotions. And then the body is simply the vehicle of the soul. The body does whatever the soul chooses for it to do. Now, before we were saved, and thanks to Adam, when he sinned in the garden, the spirit of man died to the things of God. Our spirit brought nothing spiritual to the table before we were saved. The soul had no biblical truth from the spirit to feed the body unless it was truth that was gathered in accordance with its environment and its culture. And while all truth is God's truth, the Spirit of God was not present to give it spiritual life nor spiritual discernment. We did not have the mind of Christ, right? Does that make sense? Hence, before we were saved, we lived from emotion to emotion on a daily basis. The lost, they also live from emotion to emotion today. The problem is that emotions change as often as the wind. And so it's a good thing that we live in a civilized society where we've learned that there are serious consequences to impulsively acting on every emotion. So even unsaved people keep their emotions in check to a degree. But many people, Christian and non-Christian alike, too often we give in to those raw emotions and acting upon them. We do things or say things that have seriously bad consequences. Like, you know, some Christians can't hold their cussing. And they act on emotion. They get mad and they just cuss. I mean, I've got a preacher friend of mine who I'm dead set determined I will not talk to him again. And truth be known, if he calls me, I'll probably pick the phone up and I'll probably wait for him to cuss again. And if he cusses again this time, I should have let him have it before. Because it shows absolutely no respect, number one, for me. It shows no respect for the office. It shows no respect for God. A Christian, let alone a pastor, has no business cussing. No business swearing. And I think that most every Christian knows that. But the fact of the matter is, the truth is, while it will not send you to hell, it will certainly taint your testimony. And if you're a Christian in here today, I know that there are some Christians in this room. You can't have this many Christians in a room and somebody not struggle with cussing when you give in to those emotions. And I know it's true. And so what I'm saying is, unfortunately, there are some Christians who give in to those raw emotions, and when we act upon them, there are serious consequences because of it. Cussing was just a small thing. Some Christians do far worse. But Christians are to live on a much higher plane than the non-Christian. Can I get an amen right there? And now, why is that? Because now that we're saved, we do possess the Spirit of God. While when we were born again, God regenerated that dead spirit with His Holy Spirit. And so now our spirit does weigh in on spiritual things. It does bring spiritual things to the table. It does bring spiritual value to the table. We didn't have that prerogative before because the spirit was dead. But now that it's alive, God can speak to our spirit and our soul can take what's there and tell our body what to do with it. Now, the emotional portion of our soul can weigh in spiritually on the decision portion of our soul. We don't have to respond emotionally in a carnal, wicked, evil, ungodly, unchristian manner. We don't have to. Maybe you're one who got on there and just ripped those people up. Maybe you are. Yeah, I'm not going to ask for an amen on that one. Because, like you, I'm American. I am a patriot. I am a veteran. And I'm preaching to you on ruling our emotions, and I'm still going to tell you I am not sure what I would do if somebody were to burn an American flag in front of me. You might have to, Heritage Baptist Church, start a jail ministry just to visit me. I don't know how many of you veterans out there would say, I don't know that I could just sit still and watch that happen. I just don't know. I'd like to think that I'm Christian enough to keep my emotions in check, but boy, that'd be a biggie. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, turn with me to a couple of verses here. We're going to read several verses now in Matthew 5, and then we're going to go over to Romans 13 and read a few, and then we'll drop down to Titus. We got several verses between now and the end of the sermon. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Matthew chapter 5, say amen when you get there. Amen. Okay, that's most. I still hear pages. Music to a preacher's ears, by the way. Love to hear those pages turning. Amen. All right, Matthew 5, verse 13. The Lord said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." He has given us the ability to shine in the darkest places, in the darkest of times. But when we let our emotions rule rather than allowing God's Spirit in us to rule over our emotions, we remain in darkness, and the people who were meant to see God don't. Romans 13, go ahead and turn there with me. Romans 13. Look what the Apostle Paul, we've read this 1,000 times, but what is he addressing truly? When you peel the onion back, what exactly is it? When you peel those layers back, what exactly is it that he's addressing in Romans chapter 13? Are you there? Look at verse 14 with me. "Bless them which persecute you. Bless." And what? "Curse not." What's he addressing? He's not just addressing our action. He's addressing the thing that motivates the action. Our emotion. "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." Verse 17. He says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Verse 19. Look what he said. "Dearly beloved." Am I not in the right place? Everybody. I'm reading 12. Why did I put 13 on my notes? You're supposed to know. All right, go back then. Let's start over. I have Romans 13. I don't know why in the world. Is my Bible not the right one? Which Bible am I reading out of? See, that's what happens too when I type all my notes out and I put my finger slipped. Is that what it was? Well, sure enough, there it is. Look at that. Thank you. Those blank stares get me every time. My dog does that. Thank you for helping me out. Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Are y'all there? Amen. You're supposed to say, "Are you there?" All right, verse 14. "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not." He said in verse 17, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." When someone is acting in an evil way toward us, what is it doing but stirring up emotions? And then if we don't allow the Spirit of God to overrule our emotion, we act on that raw emotion and we will recompense evil for evil. So he's saying, keep your emotions in check here. He said in verse 19, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves." Oh, you just wait. I'll show him. He just thinks he got away with that. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil of good." I'm here to tell you, when he addresses the emotions, these raw emotions that you and I, we're people of emotions. God made us emotional beings, but that doesn't mean that we're to give in to those emotions in an ungodly way, because we have the Spirit of God living in us, and we ought to give him the opportunity to weigh in on those emotions and season it with the Spirit of God. But oh my goodness, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard because, just an angry moment. Our emotions change from moment to moment. You know how it is with your spouse. I mean, even with your spouse, you can kiss on cheek, on lips, then 1 minute, and the next minute you're thinking that you're judging each other. Emotions, or yelling at each other, arguing with each other. It's so easy to give in to those emotions. Now, all of this that we just read, what he's telling us to do in Matthew 5 and Romans 13, it's accomplished by not allowing your emotions to rule over you, but by you actively engaging and allowing your spirit, which is now energized by God's spirit, to choose the emotions for you, communicating that to your soul, and your soul, now empowered by God's Spirit, will command your body to act or respond accordingly. That's why he tells us in Proverbs 25, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, he's like a city that's broken down and without walls. When we can't get a hold of our own emotions, when we allow our emotions, which is fueled by outside circumstances, when those things come in and we allow those emotions to rule over us, man, we're like a city whose walls are broken down and the enemy can just come right in and take us at his will. Make us do whatever he wants. Now, in closing, while there are many things that I could say, let me just give you one reason why we ought not get so wrapped up in and bogged down by all that is going on in this crazy Satan-led world. I don't like someone burning my flag. I'm telling you, it starts down here. It starts at the tips of my toes. And it just works its way up into me. And I go through every range of emotion. And I just want to lash out. I am dead serious. I'm American. I bleed red, white, and blue. I am American. I don't agree with everything that our, you know, we got faults, man. We need to be fixed in certain areas, but it's still the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. And I still believe that. And I can't stand it when I see a flag burn. I don't even like to see a picture of a flag being burnt. An American flag. We can't let all these crazy things rule over us and rule over our emotions that we lash out, especially on Facebook, brethren. That's a public platform. And we're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And when we're acting in darkness, they can't do that. And so let me give you, like I said, I can give you many. I thought about many, but I said, I'm not going to have time for all this. So let me just give you one reason why we ought not get so wrapped up and bogged down by all that's going on in this crazy Satan-led world. And I thought about many things, and I thought, what's the main thing? What, for me anyway, and it's this. This world is not our home. It's just where we reside until we get home. We're just passing through, amen? We could sing that, couldn't we? When I was in Germany in the military, even then, I mean, well, it's, for a long time, it's been a socialist country. Socialist medicine, socialist, it's just socialist. Man, they pay taxes through the nose, but everything's free. Yeah. Socialist. And quite honestly, I heard them complain about it, and I saw how it worked in their government. I saw how it worked on their economy, and I saw people were strapped. And quite frankly, you know what my attitude was toward that? I don't care. It's not my country. It's not my problem if you pay 60% of your income in taxes. It's not my problem if you have to wait 6 months just to do a simple medical procedure. Not my problem. I don't care. That is the attitude I had when I was in Europe that many years ago. Why did I have that attitude? Because it wasn't my home. It wasn't my land. You may think that's a callous thing to say, but the fact is it wasn't my home. I was not a citizen of that country. My citizenship was here And we had a, you know, I had an American base to take care of my medical needs, and all the things that I need was paid for and taken care of by an American entity there on European soil. And so when I think about that, and I think about the fact that this world isn't my home, you know, let the Democrats have it, and let the Republicans, let the politicians have it, let them do what they want to do. That should not affect how I live, you know, I mean, outside of paying $200 for groceries when three years ago it cost me $50, but you know what I'm saying. Yes, we have a tendency to get upset over that, but what I'm saying is that ought not affect how I live for God. It ought not affect how my emotions are displayed in public. Philippians 3:20, I love what Paul said. He says, "For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our citizenship is in heaven. Titus 2, I love this, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation." Go ahead and turn there, Titus chapter 2. I know I'm in the right passage there. Amen. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." There's nothing godly about this present world, but we're to live godly in this present world. Looking, here's what we're supposed to do while we're living godly in this present world, where they got Hamas Gaza wars, where we've got protesting in the street, where we've got riots taking place, where we've got people doing the same thing that they did on January 6th, but no one getting arrested. In fact, charges being dropped. See how emotional I can get over it? They want to disrupt American life, and it's okay if it's on the Democratic side, but if it's on you see how emotional we can get over this? While I'm living in this world where all of this is going on around me, I'm to be, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope. I'm to be looking for that blessed hope. And what is that? The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Brethren, the presidency of Donald Trump is not our blessed hope. It's not our blessed hope. No Republican or any elected official ever gave himself for me or redeemed me. We are looking for King Jesus. Amen. We're looking for King Jesus. That's the one that we're looking for. 1 Timothy 6, I love what Paul said to Timothy here. He said in verse 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The only trump I'm anticipating is found in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." Amen? That's the only trump I'm anticipating. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Brethren, don't you understand that eternity is our 50, 60, 40, 30, 20, 100 years on this planet is a blip in light of eternity. I used to, let's see, I'm going to move real close to this thing here. I'm looking at a little red speck. Actually looks like blood. I don't know what's that all about. But I'm looking at a little red speck on that wall of white. Can y'all see that from there? Nobody can see it. How many of you trust me and believe that it's there? Not many of you. There is one there, I promise. I want you to consider everything from that little red speck that way is eternity past. And everything from that little speck that way is eternity future. You know what that little red speck in the middle represents? Time. And you can't even see it, but I promise it's there. Time. Do you know one of these days time will be no more? God created this little thing, little bitty thing called time, so He could manifest Himself to us, demonstrate His love, and create us to fellowship with Him. He didn't create us to stay here. This thing is going to dissolve one of these days with heat. This thing is going to be burned up one of these days, and everything that we think is so important, this side of eternity, is going to be gone that quick. You know, Trump is saying, I heard him say the other day, and you probably heard him say this too, if I lose, we'll have World War III. Did y'all hear him say that? I don't know if that's true or not. I think what's a truer statement is we'll have a civil war than World War III. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Do I want to experience that? No, I don't want to experience that. But it's not going to change how I live for Jesus Christ. And it's not going to, I'm not going to get online, and I hope that you'll not get online and start ripping up the ungodly people. When we think about these people that we're so upset with, when I saw that picture of the Paris opening ceremonies to Paris, I didn't watch it, but I saw the pictures. When I saw that, I cringed. I was disgusted inside. But then we have to stop and think, every person sitting at that table was somebody that my Savior died to save. You know, Jesus did not die, He did not come to this earth and die so that they could be condemned. Jesus Christ came and He lived and He suffered and He bled and He died to save them. That's His first choice. Shouldn't it be ours? But we allow our emotions to take over, and we never offer a prayer of salvation. I'm just saying, let's be Christians. I'm just saying, let's rule over instead of being overruled. Let's rule over our emotions. Now, if you're not saved this morning, I want to roll in a couple of things here, a couple of verses that might give you some perspective on where I'm coming from. Why am I thinking about this old world? It's not my home. Amen. I'm just a passing through. Amen, brother. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 says this. In fact, go ahead and turn to Revelation 20. I'm going to close up with just a couple of verses here. If you're not saved, I want to read to you from the end of the book. This is why we can get so excited about heaven. This is why I can get excited about the fact that this world is not our home. You see, there's two sides here. As you well know, there's good against evil. There's war, spiritual warfare going on, and it's good and evil. And I know that I'm on the winning side. I already know that. I knew that a week after I got saved. The guy who led me to the Lord, he said, now you need to go get you a big old King James Bible. I went and got one. I said, well, where do I start reading it? He said, well, read beginning with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, but don't read Revelation yet. That'll just freak you out. The day that I got that Bible, I had a dentist appointment, and so I just took the whole day off from work. And I sat down with that Bible as soon as I got it, and guess what I read? I did read Revelation, first thing. And guess what it did? It freaked me out. I had no clue what he was talking about, but this I did gather. I gathered, even as my young, just freshly new saved state, I gathered that I was on the right team. I gathered that I had that this battle was already won. There was going to be a lot of battles along the way, but the war is already won, and I'm on the right side. Revelation chapter 20, if you're there, look at verse 6. He said unto me, now this is Jesus speaking to John. He says, he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, salvation is offered to you freely. I mean, everything that needs to be done has been done. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid the debt that you owed God. And now he just offers you eternal life as a gift if you'd be willing to come to him by faith in Jesus Christ. Revelation 21, look at verse 7. Revelation 21, look at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. When I'm out witnessing to people, I always bring them to this point. I show them that the Bible says there's a second death. And I said, are you aware of the Bible's that there are two deaths? And I'm telling you, 99.9% of the people who have never read the Bible or never heard this will absolutely say, no, I didn't know there were two deaths. I can show them from the Word of God that there's a death of the body and then there is a death of the soul. And if you die without Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, you will die. You will die for eternity in a lake of fire. That is called the death of the soul. That is the second death. But I look at Revelation chapter 22. Look at Revelation 22. And again, verse 7. Listen to what Jesus said. Behold, I come quickly. We don't know the day or the hour. There is nothing that needs to be fulfilled in terms of prophecy for Jesus to come again. Everything is in place. All prophecy has been fulfilled that needs to be fulfilled for him to step out and to call us home and to take up his place upon this earth and to begin the 7-year tribulation period. Behold, I come quickly. Verse 12, he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 13, he said again, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. He just keeps offering it. Freely. And then verse 20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then we all say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Child of God, are you ready for the Lord Jesus to come back? Okay, so now this is not a rhetorical question. Are you ready for the Lord Jesus to come back? I'm ready, brother. I'm ready. We live in a crazy world. And I'm so guilty of falling prey to those stinking emotions, Brother John. Man, it is tough. It is tough. It is tough not to get upset, not to get mad, not to lash out. And if you're going to do that, do it at home with your spouse. I don't mean at your spouse, with your spouse present. And get it out of your system. Is that a good plan? Do it at home, get it out of your system, and then get on Facebook and lift up God and glorify God. Because we want people to see God. That's the whole purpose. I sometimes I overthink these things. I overcomplicate it, and sometimes I overexplain it. Maybe I convoluted the whole truth here. I hope I didn't. And this wasn't the message I had laid out on my desk yesterday. But yesterday morning, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want to give you something else. And at 3 o'clock, I started this because I looked at Facebook and I saw my friends lashing out and responding in ways that just didn't reflect the character of God. And I've resolved that I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. I'm not perfect. My wife knows that. She'll tell you that. But when I get on Facebook, this tool that we've been talking about, what an opportunity God has given us to glorify God across the world. Imagine what we could do if every single one of us got on Facebook and used it for His glory alone. Alone. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If you're here this morning, and if you like me, you have a tendency to give in to those raw emotions, I want to invite you this morning when we have the invitation. In fact, why don't you go ahead and come to the instruments. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to make your way up here to this old altar. God, I'm an emotional being. You made me that way, but unfortunately, I don't let Your Spirit rule over my emotions, not as often as I should. Father, I pray You'd help me with that. Help me to do better, because a world is watching me, and they're listening to me, and they're reading me. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, Jesus said, I offer the water of life freely to everyone who wants to know that heaven will be their home when they die. If you're not 100% sure heaven will be your home, why don't you come this morning? We're going to have some men standing right down here. There's some ladies at the front who'll be more than happy to take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt heaven will be your home. Let's stand this morning.